have led this word again this morning. Gracious holy name, our Father, we thank and praise you for the words we have been singing. We ask indeed, Lord, that you will speak to us. Because, Lord, when you speak to us and we respond to what you say, then you're going to do something. Lord, do something this morning. Do something, Lord, again. Because we can't accuse you of not doing, Lord. But we ask that you'll do it again. Lord, it's good for us to be here. We need to hear your voice, Lord. We need you to speak to us, Lord. Lord, in the face of the enemy, Lord, we declare that you are speaking even now. We ask, Lord, that the word will be the authority. We ask, Lord, that the word will have free course. We ask, Lord, you'll bind the work of the strong man and you'll spoil his goods. We ask, Lord, that you'll loose the Holy Ghost upon your people. Lord, that same Spirit that wrote this word will come again in the room and speak it again and preach it, Lord, and open our hearts that we'll receive it into our hearts, Lord. That we'll go away encouraged this morning, Lord. That we'll go away strengthened this morning. That we'll be able to say it was good for us to be here because we've met afresh with you, Lord. Oh God, we need to meet with you all the time. I pray, God, that'll happen in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to read from the first book of Samuel this morning, chapter 30. It's a well-known portion of Scripture, and I just want to refresh ourselves on it this morning if we can. It's the story of the Amalekites, how they came and invaded the south and burned the city of Ziklag. King David and his men comes back to the houses. I want to just begin the reading here, and we'll read a few verses from verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, Ish, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail will cover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they give him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had not eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Turrites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt not neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Well, the end of the reading there, it was a long reading. You may have your seats this morning. This here portion of scripture is one that we have heard many sermon preached from, greatly so. This morning, you know, I just want to go through it again and leave one or two things with you about it. And, you know, I've got a title for this sermon this morning, and it's a shocking one, maybe. It's called Hell's Invaders. Hell's Invaders. Now there's a game for the children which I don't think any child should have, called Space Invaders. Now that's up to you. If you have that in your home, that's your own business, but I don't think it should be about a place. But these is Hell's Invaders, I believe. Now you don't need to be very smart to know what an invader is. An invader comes without invitation. You don't send him an invite. He'll come. You don't ask him. So he'll come. He's an invader. An invader is someone who is what? Breaking out into territory that they don't own or don't possess. But they want to come in and possess the territory. They want to come in somewhere that they don't own, and they want to take something that does not belong to them. They want to come, they want to kill, they want to steal, or they want to destroy. It's just like Satan. The greatest invader ever was is Satan himself. And all his angels. Now every one of his angels is a fallen angel, because Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now he was cast out way, way back, years and years, thousands of years ago. He was cast out of the heavens. There was war in heaven and Satan was cast out, and the Bible says that the stars from heaven began to fall. That's the angels, you know. And it said his tail
soft target.
He's looking to strike. He's looking to hit whenever You see, I've written down some things here. Oh boy, I've too much to say. But anyhow, see, David didn't do anything wrong, but the invaders came. He just wasn't there. But he couldn't be in two places at once. You can't be in two places at once. But I don't believe he was out of the will of the Lord. Now you might say, well, why did it come? Well, you know, I don't know if that's the most important issue. Why did it come? You could say it came because God wanted to get an occasion against the Amalekites. You could say that. Now, God always wanted an occasion against the Amalekites because I've written it down here, but I don't know if we... Matthew can turn it up for us. If you look at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 4. Now, give us more verses, Mark. Give us more verses, Matthew. You see here, this is a coincidence. Moses and the children of Israel, they were in a crisis, weren't they? Because there was no water and the people strove. And the spit of stone and Moses. Now this is interesting. Because they were going to stone Moses. And he smites the rock, and the water comes out of the rock. Verse 8, move us on up there, please, if you can. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose you out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. That's the Amalekites. Then it's the same crowd. Now, it's interesting because the people were going to stone Moses here. Moses, you're to blame. You know, if the devil can get you to blame somebody else for your trouble, or when he comes to attack you, he'll do it. He wants you to put the blame on somebody else. He wants you to pass the blame to an individual, pick somebody out and stone them. And Moses was under pressure here because the people speak of stoning Moses, and it's a striking thing. The Lord said, go down and smite the rock, and he went, and Moses got himself into ill will with the Lord because he smote the rock more than once. And somebody said, the rock was Christ, and Christ only ever had to be smitten one time. He didn't need smitten two or three times. But anyway,
for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have
Satan off the sheep. If you've carried out the word of the Lord, why is the sheep bleating? Where do you get all this livestock from? What sale yard were you in? Then he said to the people wanted them to make a sacrifice. And we know Samuel said to them, is the Lord so pleased at burnt offerings and the fat of rams? He says to obey is to better than the sacrifice. Just obey. Just do what the Lord's saying. That's all you need to do. You don't have to whip yourself. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to be on your knees. I'll not do you any harm being on your knees, but I mean a penance. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. Anything you get from God's a gift. Just obey the voice of God. Praise the Lord. Now, we have spent quite a while, haven't we, already? But it's a striking thing how that you see the way this spirit of the Amalekites is rising up again. And they invaded God's people. They're the representation of devils. That's what they are. Representation of devils. Demons. Principalities and powers. This is a representation of them. Hell's invaders. From down to invade. They don't knock when they're coming in. They don't knock the door. They just open the door. If you lay the door open, they'll come in. If you leave the gate open, they'll come in. If you open the gate for them, they'll come in. They'll come in without being invited. You need to shut the gate. You need to shut the door. Don't invite them. And don't let them in. Keep them out. Now, I don't want to say that's an introduction. That's maybe more than what I'm ever going to say. But I haven't really got... really got to what I want to say. You know, took the women captive that were therein in verse 2. Carried them away and went on their way. And then David and his men, verse 3, came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. The city was destroyed.
could say, well, it didn't affect.
impact me. You know, the enemy comes in like a flood. The Bible says about him. He comes in like a flood. Unless there's something to stop him, he'll keep on coming. He will. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And these people start to weep. These people start to lament, start to mourn, until they have no more power to weep. Just no more power to weep. Says that. Says until they had no more power to weep. They cried all their tears. You know, sometimes a bit of crying doesn't do you any harm. Doesn't not do you any harm, a bit of crying. These people got rid of all the tears. And all the weeping. And you know, it says that David's two wives were taken captive. And in verse 6, it says that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. You know that word grieved? Why? It can hit you. It says the soul. The soul of all the people. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Deep down. Deep hurt. Deep down hurt. It wasn't something that was just, oh, the thought about, and then the next minute I had forgotten it. It wasn't something that just, they read it in the newspaper and they said, oh, well, sure, that's that. This went right to the soul. You know, when something gets in your soul, you don't just get rid of it. It stays with you. It gets to the soul. It's not only on the flesh now. It's in the soul. The soul was grieved. That means that you're actually sad and you're actually sobbing. And there's no tears. But it's deep inside you. Because of something the enemy has done. Because of an invasion. Because of an intruder. Because of the enemy has come in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And to strike you. Or to strike your family. To strike a member of your family. And all the people's weeping. And all the people's grieving. Everybody's down there somewhere. And their soul's grieving. You know that word grief? It means to have bitterness of the soul. Bitterness. You know, the devil hasn't got anything that's sweet. It might look sweet. But when he is finished, you'll find it's bitter. And you'll find that it's very bitter. And you'll find that it'll bring you bitterness. It'll not bring you happiness. It'll not bring you sweetness. He hasn't anything that's sweet to offer. He has only got bitterness. He has only got sadness. He has only got loneliness. He has only got rejection. He hasn't anything that's lovely. He hasn't anything that's good. He hasn't got anything that's gentle. He hasn't got any loving kindness. He hasn't got a good bone in his body, that devil. But Jesus Christ has got all of them things. Jesus Christ and the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is goodness, is gentleness, is faith, is meekness, is temperance. Against such there's no law. Hallelujah. There's no law against any of them things. But there's a law against the devil. And there's a law against his pride. people's grief and their bitterness. See, when you get to that stage, there's only one that can deliver. That's God. Help us, O Lord, for vain is the help of man. That's what David said. Vain is the help of man. Man can't do this. He needs God to help him. And you know, I think the key to success here is something that David done, and it's very hard to do. This is hard to do, what David done. I believe it's the key. This is the key to success. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the Bible doesn't just say in verse 6, it tells you all them things in verse 6. It says David was greatly distressed.
Now, I've put that up there. Give us a couple more verses, Matthew. Yes. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, there shall be fruit in the vines, the labour of the ox shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and I will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on the stringed instrument. You know, whenever that there is a, that's a crash. That there is a crash. That there is everything hitting the floor. And this is what Habakkuk the prophet did say in verse 18. He says, it doesn't matter what takes place, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do it. But that's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. And just one moment, Matthew, I don't spend a lot of time. Go to Psalm 113. Psalm 113, and it's a great psalm, because it says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord, believe it or not. You start to thank the Lord. Could you imagine David thanking the Lord whenever he seems to have lost that which is near to him and that which is dear to him? And he thanks the Lord. Now, I've talked, it's 12:05. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and you know, I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord. You might be getting it here this morning, but you can get it here this morning, and you can get it in the quiet place. You can get it by yourself in your room. You can get it while you're working. You can encourage yourself in the Lord when you start to call upon his name. And I believe that's what King David done here. What else could he do? Well, he could have sat down and he could have said, the Lord's not working with me anymore. He could have said, I've wasted my time, I've spent my time, I've wasted my time, the Lord has departed from me, I must be out of the will of the Lord. The people speak of stoning him. He could have said, I must be the worst leader on earth, I never should have been king. He could have said it was a mistake. Somebody could have come up and said, you know, there must be some sin in your life. Didn't do any of them things. He just encouraged himself in the Lord. He just encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, now we've thought back to the battle with Goliath. How did he win that? Well, he just come again him in the name of the Lord. He came again him in the name of the Lord. He maybe thought back to the time when the lamb and the bear came and took out of the flock, and he pursued them and he slew them. Maybe he thought back to that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, one of the best ways to encourage yourself in the Lord is think back to the time when God done something for you. When God done something for you. And you knew it was him that done it, for nobody else could do it. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Think back to the time. Hallelujah. When God done something for you. When God heard you when you prayed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he goes into action. Why? This is the good part. David is going to go into action. Now he gets down the ephod and he gets a word from the Lord. And it says in verse 8 that David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, now that was the Lord, said,
pursued, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail will cover all. You know, I've written down here, phase one. Now, you know, it's maybe not really phase one, but this is, David's doing something now that you can see. And he starts to pursue after the Ammonite. He's not going to let him off of it. You know, this morning or this afternoon, I'm going to say something to you. Don't you let him off with it.
What?
encourage you to pray for deliverance ministry. If you haven't already got it, you may have used it before, but you need to use it again. You can't put the sword down. You can't put it down. Now, King David started to pursue. He started to pursue this truth. He said, "You're not getting away with it. Not getting away with it." You know, sometimes we become too soft, don't we? I'm talking about spiritual things now. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking spiritual. You know, I've become very slow at not as trying to preach or speak. King David seemed to be doing something. You know something? I'm not here this morning to criticize you. Did I not? No, did I? I'm not. I'm here to ask you the question. Are you seen to be doing something? What does your neighbours think about you? Now I know there's a person in this room this morning, and I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But I know there's a person in this room this morning that Ramon called to me one day, and he saw this person. And know what he said to me? He said, "That person's a Christian." And I said, "How do you know that person is a Christian?" He said, "I know to look at them." That's what he said. Never seen them before. Now, you don't know the person. The people involved sitting in here this morning, you don't know the people that said this. You don't know them. You wouldn't know them. I met this man. I was away at a show when I met him. And he came to my house and I bought a product off him. And when he was on his way to the farm, he saw this person. And when he came in the yard, he said, "I saw so and so. I saw a person down the road. I'm not going to say if I asked him on." He said, "I know they're a Christian." I said, "That's right, they are." That's what he said. You know, when you get saved, you're marked. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're marked. Well, anyway, David was seen to be doing something. I wonder, are we seen to be doing something? You know, I don't understand churches that never do an outreach. I don't understand churches that never have a prayer meeting. Something wrong with them. They've lost the vision. David had a vision here. What vision had he got? He had a vision of restoration. He had a vision of getting back something that the enemy had stolen. He could have said it's impossible, but no. He asked the Lord for deliverance ministry. You may say, "I already had it." Well, more of it. More of the same thing. More of it. God give us more of what we have from Him and less of what comes of sin. Boy, that's what we need, isn't it? We need more of something that God gives and less of something that the devil gives. Praise His holy name. It's available. And I said that it's phase one. And you know, you can make this into hundreds of phases. There's a week's preaching here in this sermon below. Now, I know you're listening well. I don't want to bore you to death. Don't worry. I'm going to soon stop and I'll be speaking for a while. This here, David starts out on this road and he's pursuing this troop, and we're told that he had 600 men, and he's got the 600 men, and when you come down to verse 10 of this, it says, "But David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor." David starting out. He's starting out now, and he's 600 men. You have to fight for every inch. And every step that you could imagine them people, every step they take, they're getting tired. You imagine. They're wanting something and they really want it. They're desperate, they want it. And they're pursuing, they're after it. They're doing what they know how to do it. They're doing the best they know how, but they're under pressure. And they're becoming weak even while they're going. Now they're pursuing. They're not engaged in the battle yet. But they're willing to be in the battle. What does that tell me? Tells me they're in the prayer meeting. That's who they are. They're in the prayer meeting. They're there. They're there when it counts. But they're getting weaker. They're getting tired. And they're feeling that they can't go on. And when they come down to the brook, they're not able to go over the brook. And they search out, Dave search out with 600 men. And the next thing you know, what happens, he has lost 200 men. And everyone wants to do the calculations, but I know that's a third of his army. He's lost a third of his army. David, you know, nobody come to David and said, David, you better turn back. No, David was out in front and he was singing that wee chorus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. There's nothing back there to go to. Let me tell you, if you ever put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing to go back to. Because there's no substitute for him. There's nothing in this world that can replace him. There's nothing in this world that can take his place. If ever you ask him one time in your life, you'll find there's no substitute for him. Let me say, there's no substitute for the power of God. What does David do? He says to them 200 men, sit you down here and guard the stuff. And you have a rest. Don't give up. You have a rest. You just wait here. You have came as far as you can come. You just wait here and we'll return with your prize. We'll return with the goods. You know, David keeps on pursuing. He keeps on. And I've written down... I didn't write it down because I couldn't spell it, but he's anticipating. He's anticipating that God is going to do something. He's under expectation. If he's not under expectation, why go any farther? If David's not under expectation, why go any farther? Why go over this brook be sore? Why go any farther? There's 200 men. They're weak for hunger. They're tired. They put in all their energy. You know, the devil could have come right up there and said, where's your results? What have you to show for it? What are these 200 men to show for it? Well, they were more tired. They were more spent. And the battle hadn't even started. But they're in a phase. They're in a battle plan, believe it or not. They're part of the plan. Did you ever know that you're part of the plan? Did you know that? And do you know if you're not going to get into line, God's maybe waiting for you to get into line so that he can attack? But these people was part of the plan. Everybody here was needed. I believe that. They were all part of the plan. They were all born to get back something that the invaders had took. Everybody was involved. You know them? You couldn't have picked out them men and said, you'll have to stay or you'll have to go. No, they're all the same. They're all the same. Just because they didn't go over the brook doesn't mean they weren't one of the number. They're one of the number. They're one of them. One of them. But thank God David keeps on going. And you know what? That was another hard time. The road was tough. Used to sing a wee chorus, lo, the road be steep and rough. If it leads me, that's enough. You know, when God's leading, makes all the difference. You know, he pursues on, and he's expecting the Lord to do wonders. And I need to keep moving here. You know, just after that, there's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough comes. You know, we sang once that said, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Just before the dawn, that's the darkest hour. But there's something here, there's a few things here I want to leave with you. And the very next verse is verse 11, and there's a breakthrough in verse 11. Why is there a breakthrough? Because they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had not eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and 3 nights. You see, he fell sick. But there's a breakthrough because David gets a hold of him. And then he starts to say what bottomless he was in. Doesn't he? He starts to tell his life story. He starts to give a testimony. And he starts to explain how that they made an invasion. In verse 13, David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? You know, you could preach a sermon from that. To whom belongest thou? David met this Egyptian, and that's what he said to him. He said, to whom do you belong? You know, the devil knows who you belong to this morning. He knows if you belong to Jesus, or he knows if you belong to him. Now, there's no other way to describe it. There's no other way to say it. You are either with God's people, or else you're with the devil's. There's two this morning. There's God's people, and there's the devil's people. There's people that have eternal life, and there's people that don't have eternal life. Two categories. But David asked them. David said, as soon as you open your mouth, I'll know. You know, when some people start talking, you know what they are. As soon as they start talking, of course they'll tell you what they are. Not right? But David said, to whom belongest thou? And he said he was an Egyptian. Didn't he? Oh, need a hurry. And then he tells how he fell sick. Verse 14 says, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, verse 16, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. You know, these invaders are spread abroad upon all the earth today. You go into the supermarket to get your groceries, some, not them all, but some of them, and they're playing their music. Not right. You go into the barber to get your hair cut, they're playing their music. You hear bump, 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 bump. They say it's cool. You know the coolest place you'll get? I'm going to tell you, graveyard. It's one of the coolest places there is. And Satan has took that word and he made it popular. But hell's not a cool place. It's a hot place. So, and it's real. But anyway, I need to move on here. David said, you know, it said they're spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing while they're having a party. You know, the devil, let me say this. Singers and dancers come out of Zion. God's in singing and dancing. God's in the right kind of singing. And God's in the right kind of dancing. Do you see all this other come strictly come dancing? It comes from hell. It's a perversion of the real thing. And God had it first. Let me say that. God had singing first and God had dancing first. In the right kind of dancing. But we see a perversion. We see something that the devil has took and perverted. You know, he never could create anything. Only can pervert something that's right. Just like he couldn't do anything. He can't make a miracle. He can't heal a body. Couldn't heal you, but he could kill you. Not right. Couldn't make you well. Can't do it. But they're spread abroad all upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of the great spoil that they have taken out of the hand of the Philistines. You know, there's an old saying, and it's a true one, he that laughs last, laughs longest. That's not right. He that laughs last will laugh longer. I can hardly get my tongue around it. But these guys are having a great party, aren't they? They're having a great time. And all of a sudden, something's going to happen. The judgment of God is going to strike them. That's what's going to happen. The judgment of God is going to strike them. And you know, I said that he didn't give warning. God does give warning. The devil doesn't give warning, but God does give warning, I believe. And here, verse 17 says, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Somebody said, it's not the time for God to move. Somebody said, It's too late in the day. Somebody said it's too near the end of the world. You can't have a revival. Well, you might never have a revival. This, you might call this a revival. But David was getting back something that he needed. And something that he wanted. And when did he start? I'll tell you when he started to get back. Well, you might say he started when he started pursuing. That's right. But I've written it down here. You need to smite the enemy when you get within range. When you get within range of him, you need to smite him. And you need to worry what time it is. David never worried what time it was. David never said it's the twilight. The twilight. You know the twilight. It's starting to get dark. That's the twilight, isn't it? The day is rightly on. The day is rightly spent. You know, nobody come up to David and said, hey boy, do you see the time it is? You need to strike, you need to smite him now. Didn't do that. David smote him. The Bible says he smote him from the twilight to the evening of the next day. You know, somebody's going to say, David, you better wait till tomorrow morning. David, you better wait till tomorrow, till noontime tomorrow, when the sun gets up. David, you better wait till tomorrow evening. You know what happens? See, if you wait too long, the iron will go cold. If you don't cut the stick when you see it, somebody else will cut it. Where are we today? Where are we? you need a strike. I believe if you've been pursuing them, you need to strike them. You need to strike them. Now, the time's gone. Must be one of the slowest pitchers in the world. You need to strike them. You need to strike them when you get the chance. You need to strike them. But whenever he's within range, you need to strike him. You need to smite him. And that's what David's done. And David recovered all. You know, you have listened well. Listen. Matthew, when you turn up 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. Tells me the weapons of our warfare are not charmed, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strong. But the weapons of our warfare are not charmed. You can't close your fists and hit Satan on the mouth. You can't hit him with a stick. He's a spirit. He's an evil spirit. How do you hit him then? You have to hit him with the word of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. You know, you have to hit him with the word of the Lord. Now, here's a comment. I wrote it down here, and I'm not using great words here this morning, but whenever the man was faint and David pursued, I've written down, pursue and engage the enemy. You know, whenever you engage the enemy, you need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to strike him. You need to be able to hit him. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So you can hit him on your knees in prayer. You can
the devil to do,
because the Lord allowed the devil him to do this that he might get an occasion at the Amalekites, because he told Saul to wipe them out and he didn't do it, and David's going to give him a clout in the ear. I believe that.
Says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. That's what we're against this morning. They're against us. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your lines here about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, some people have kicked the shoes off. When you kick the shoes off, you have no gospel. Tell you, we need to be willing to have the gospel. I believe that with all my heart. You know, you've listened really well, and I need to stop talking because you're going to be here all day. Verse 17 tells us, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and they escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men. And David recovered all. And there was nothing lacking, verse 19, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. So David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle. So David didn't only recover all, he recovered what them boys had took somewhere else. He got more than what he had. He actually came back with more than what he lost. And then he comes down to the men in verse 21, and it came, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. You see, they're looking to cause a split, they're looking to cause a division, and they're not looking to share the spoil. But David says no. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the bottom, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. You know, you have listened real well. I have to come to the close. It's coming 20 to 1. You know, there's lots of things more maybe we could say this morning. There's lots of things more we could bring out of it. About the sword. David smote him. I believe he smote him. And he smote him when he was within range. You know, he said the Lord delivered him. It's who delivered him. It was the Lord delivered him. But David was there when it happened. And David wanted the Lord. David wanted the Lord's help. David needed the Lord's help. And David got the Lord's help. I trust this morning you'll be encouraged. You know, I'm not trying to say too much. I believe, as I said earlier, you could take a day or take a sermon on encouragement. You could take one on pursuing. You could take one and just talk about the sword of the Lord, talk about how you smite him. I believe God wants us to smite him.
when you come within range. Don't accept the circumstances. David didn't accept them. David said, they're gone, but I'm getting them back. And he got them back. Praise the Lord. Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer and then guys going to come. And what would I say this morning? Only believe. Believe God. Just believe God, because He's the one that can deliver. He's the one that can set free. He's the one that can get us, restore to us that which the enemy has stolen. Bless the Lord. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for your word again. I ask, Lord, that your people, first and foremost, will be encouraged. And Lord, just like King David encouraged himself in the Lord, may we encourage ourselves in you. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. And Lord, I believe that this account is a true account of what took place. And Lord, the enemy has maybe invaded our lives. He has maybe come against us, Lord, in some way, and it has affected us. And not only us, but it has affected our families. Lord, we want to take back this morning. We want to take back by faith now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us to pursue. Lord, if we have sat down by the brook, you don't condemn us, Lord. But Lord, we receive the same as those that went on into the battle. Lord, I pray for everyone in here this morning. And you know, Lord, what stage of the battle they're in. I ask you, Lord, to give them great deliverance. I ask you, Lord, to give deliverance ministries, even among your people. I ask you, Lord, that you would move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, you're the one that gives the increase. We can plant and water, but you give the increase. I pray, God, now that you'll heal your people. I pray for healing this morning. I pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, we think of all our families. We think of all our loved ones. We think of brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. We think, Lord, of nephews and nieces. We think of cousins this morning. Lord, we think of even closer grandchildren this morning. Lord, I pray you'll put your hand upon them for good. And Lord, you'll help us to smite the enemy that would come against them. And Lord, help us to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, Lord. Help us to go with what your word says and believe it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that virtue and power would come on your people, and the same Spirit that raised you from the dead would make us, quicken us alive again this morning. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. I ask, Lord, your word will be as the seed that fell into the good ground. Ask, Lord, it'll bring forth 100-fold in Jesus' name. That'll bring forth 100-fold, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you this morning. Thank you for your patience. Amen.
Just hit a little more, sir. Church, Jesus is alive. I'm not sure if you have got words for it. Jesus is alive. So the death must go, the right must go, or Jesus is alive. I don't believe you've heard that word before. It's a difficult one. Probably say that it's a difficult one. Jesus, this is all what Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And the death must go, they are comfortful for Jesus is alive. Right, we'll send the rest in the KFC. Maybe I'll try it. We'll try it and then we'll sing that other one that we all know. So next we could learn this. Jesus is alive. too, so I'm going to do this one.